The resolution 25-293, moved by Councilor Ryland, seconded by Councilor Kekinen. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McCullough does hereby receive the letter dated June the 11th, 2025, from Dunn-Omic Snow Riders regarding the expiring Memorandum of Understanding, the MOU, for information purposes. And further, the Council authorizes the Township to enter a Memorandum of Understanding, an MOU, in the form of a prescribed snowmobile trail land use permit with the Dunn-Omic Snow Rider Snowmobile Club, as requested, for a term of 5 years. This agreement will allow for the continued authorized use of designated township-owned lands and road allowances as part of the provincially recognized snowmobile trail system, supporting recreational tourism, regional connectivity, and safe, managed trail access for snowmobile users. And further, the staff are directed to formally inform Mr. Bill McNeese, president of the Dunn-Omic Snow Rider Snowmobile Club, of Council's decision to enter the Memorandum of Understanding, the MOU, for the prescribed snowmobile trail land use permit, and provide any supporting documentation or next steps required to finalize the agreement. Discussion?
Bill McNeese is online if any members of Council have questions.
I have the one question. I know this came up last year, and I can see why they looked for a 5 year. But it's a question, I guess, of what I had asked for last time. I think it was understood that it was going to be in there, but I don't see it this time. The idea being, and I see there's a section for additional clauses, that even though that property, I'll just read what I had added last time. This is number 14. It is acknowledged that the lands are and shall remain public, so that the public may access and traverse the lands at any time at their own risk without permission required from the LSC. That's the one thing we tried to clarify. We didn't want a situation where the public was, especially if it was on township property, denied access to that property just because they didn't have a permit from the snowmobile club. And we had run into that in the past, and so we dealt with it because the road was open. They were using part of the road, and they couldn't stop anybody and ask for a permit there on that public portion. So I just wanted to clarify that they're okay with that extra clause. Because the way it reads, it's people with permits who are allowed on these sections. But if the township-owned property, it's public property. And I think we were sort of guaranteed that that wouldn't be happening. But it would be nice to have it in as an actual clause. Not on whether Mr. McNeese wants to speak to that.
Thank you.
Just a second here. We've got a low volume. We'll get.
That's to hear you again. I do recall the discussion.
may be a different person at different times. And I wouldn't want a situation where somebody was denied access to a public road, as you say, or whether it be a provincial highway or whatever, because the person who's checking the permit is not aware that it's a public property and that anybody can use that section of it.
Yeah, I'm aware that there had been issues in the past on a trail that used a local township road. And that, of course, was back when they had an OFSC system where volunteers were part of the trail patrol and could write tickets and that sort of thing. That's long, long gone. So the only authority to actually issue a ticket would be the OPP. But the point's taken. We want to make sure that the public isn't going to be charged for using township property.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, for me, yes.
So, Councilor Keckner?
So I'm looking at my notes from last year when you were here, July 2nd, 2024. And right on the first line, I had noted that that it should possibly be the township's legal name, the Corporation of the Township of McKellar. I, the Corporation of the Township of McKellar, being the owner and or occupier thereafter. So if the legal name is on that first line. Yes, it wasn't made in the current version, and there was another further down just before line number one, where it says the term of this MOU. It's just above that. Herein after the local snowmobile club and or LSC, a license to enter onto, and we had sort of indicated maybe it should say permission to enter onto because we're not granting any license. And then further down in line 3.3, it says the landowner grants, once again, permission to the LSC, not a license. We're not issuing a license.
So on the first issue of the corporate entity, you just let us know what you'd like, and we'll incorporate that. On the issue of the license versus permission, there was communication back and forth on that. Basically, the license isn't used as an agreement, but more of a license to operate. So it's used as a noun instead of, you know, definition of an agreement between two parties. So that stayed, and that was we don't have an MOU that's
been
changed back to permission.
Because when I mentioned this in 2024, I looked at the previous version of the MOU in 2023, and it had permission list instead of license written there.
Yep, that's right. And so again, we went to the OFSC, and the response we got, well, initially was, hey, if you're going to change any wording in the MOU, it's no longer standard MOU, which causes exposure, I guess, to the club. But more importantly, you know, the explanation was provided that basically the use of the word license, what's another example, of as a noun, license someone to you can help me. anyway, it's not, although Mike, I understand you're saying you don't issue licenses for it, that's not what this is meant to mean. It's that you're licensed to do something. Same as permission. Well, same as permission, except they don't want us to change it.
Yeah, it's just a question of how formal. If they are actually expecting a license as such, something written out, or if it's just the approval of license to do something.
It's not a written license, and not that it should matter, but I mean, these things were discussed, and the agreement was signed the way it was signed.
okay, because I, like I said, I just, I compared it to previous versions of the MOU, and so you've consulted with a solicitor or some entity, and they have advised that the word license should be there instead.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
One question in number four, this has come up in other boards we serve. The LSC will provide liability insurance of $15 million. Is that per claim or is that just total?
Per incident.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it should say that. Because we ran into it on the planning board and we were told by the insurance company that it was total, it wasn't per incident. We'll be receiving that, it would say per incident, right?
That's what I would need to confirm that.
Okay.
Review the certificate of insurance.
The other one?
Somewhere else that states it without changing the MOU.
Okay.
You know, to satisfy your concerns for sure.
The other one on number nine, I don't think it'll be a concern, but the LSC shall post snowmobiling signage on the snowmobile trail. Would that be on township property, do you think? In which case, we have to check our sign bylaw to make sure that everything is legit there. Seem to be obtrusive in the way or anything, so we did want to make sure that they're legal, that somebody wouldn't have a claim that the sign was set up improperly or didn't meet the requirements and that sort of thing. We run into that too with our stop signs and yield signs and our lines that we have at intersections, and all of that's very technical, but we have to make sure that the person couldn't argue that it wasn't done properly.
Yes. Yeah, it's also a huge concern for the OFSC across the province. Yeah, just because of the litigation.
Right.
First thing that lawyers ask to talk about is, was there signage?
Right, yeah. Councilor Ryan?
Bill, down at the bottom of the MOU, you actually say the corporation of the township of McKellar there, so that's the same words that need to be up at the top in those two places as well. So
that's the entity that we should use, corporation of the township of
yes.
McKellar?
Yes.
Okay.
So
that's an easy one.
Yeah, so some things got fixed, but not all of them anyway. It's no big deal. I'm sure it's a matter of seconds, but.
You indicate that you've taken the liberty of attaching a new MOU and have left the expiry date blank. So when the township signs this, we're going to put in the expiry date, or you state that it would be good if the expiry date was the same for all the MOUs just to keep some consistency.
But ask Carly, are we all set to sign something like this, or do we need a couple of clarifications before we do? Or?
Yeah, we'll take it back and present another copy to council.
Okay, is that okay, Mr. McNeese?
Works fine. No snow in the forecast.
Oh, okay.
Sounds good.
Don't bet on it.
Okay, well, thanks for coming and clarifying some issues we had. I think I'll put this out to council on a deferral until we get a finalized document, I guess, that we can sign. But it all looks positive, so.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
We would also need the resolution to say who should sign it, because, I mean, there's spots for one signature, but.
Admins, right? Would it be Carly sent it? That's the way it reads at the bottom, isn't it?
Okay. All I'm saying is that if we want both of you to sign it, we should say that in the resolution, but I don't know if that's necessary, so.
I don't know. Some things we both sign, other things just one sign, so I don't know on this one whether you need both or not. We get that clarified.
Yeah.
So I'll call for the defer. All those in favor? None opposed? Motion is deferred.
That is a good question because it says landowner signature.
Yeah.
So is it the mayor who's finding this?
Well, her name right after it says clerk administrator, so.
Right at the bottom of landowner signature.
Right.
And so the landowner is the corporation, the township of McKellar.
Right.
So who normally finds the municipality?
Well, that's what I say. What's it say right beside it?
Oh, so the...
Who represents the township or the corporation?
I think that's a legal question.
Yeah. It's common though to have both of you sign documents that bind us, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And it's no big deal. I mean, it doesn't bother me one way or the other, quite frankly. But
no, you're not signing.
No. Yeah. I don't want to sign it. There's liability by that. So.
Unfinished business.
Municipal insurance.
I missed that one. Well, yes, 20.1.
I'm just not giving you the resolution.
Well, that's why I haven't. Okay. We still need clarification on that, I guess. Like, we had some questions before on the deductible, and I know there's some options here, and I'm still a little confused, I guess, on what our coverage is, depending on what we go by. We were looking for replacement value of particular bridges, maybe not all of them. And I'm not sure that they put the replacement value in. They put down a figure based on an older study. I don't know this coverage they're talking about, do we have full replacement value, or do we have a huge deductible of $100,000 that we have to pay? I'm just not clear even on the information that we've received, so anything you can clarify, that'd be great.
So the deductible is $10,000.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
And then you have full replacement?
And so it says here that ultimately it is the responsibility of the policyholder to determine the value of insurance required, and we can amend these values as you see fit as long as we can demonstrate accurate evaluations and insurance to value. So currently the numbers they're using are from our asset management plan. If we want to get an independent review of those replacement costs, then that's up to the municipality to do that. But I think we need to start somewhere, and if we want to increase it when we've had an opportunity to get what we may feel are more accurate, the numbers that we have, we're going for professional estimates, but if we don't feel those are accurate numbers, well, we can, you know, hire someone to re-estimate them, but I think at some point we have to actually, you know, move forward, and if we want to increase it, we can reevaluate the policy at another point in time.
Yeah, I guess it's just some concern that we've had, Herdville in particular, that improved, and with the closure of the Sequoia Valley single lane bridge next year in McDougal for all summer, obviously the usage on Herdville is going to increase dramatically, and we have no weight limit on that. So I guess it's getting beyond replacement value, but we're not having a study done until, well, it's not due until November, I guess. I guess it'll be Tulloch Engineering, and we won't really know. They'll probably tell us once again that there's no load in it. But I'm thinking that's the bridge in particular, looking at all of them. Maybe they'll tell us differently, that because of the increased usage and the larger vehicles that might be going over, if anything could happen, it might happen to that one. So we want to make sure that we're covered with that one, that at least. Some of the others are low volume traffic, as I mentioned, that need repairs. But that one will be front and center. Councilor Keckman.
Well, currently we're covered for $50,000.
Right.
So I think that if we're going to increase our liability coverage on that, so that the replacement will be 1,642,000, it's better than getting $50,000. But if we want to reevaluate to get something that we may feel is closer to the replacement cost, which we had an estimate, and I'm still sort of waiting to see that report for the replacement of Herdville Bridge to a two-lane bridge, was $3 million.
Right.
So I think that starting at 1,642,000 is a good place to start, and if we want to readjust that at another point in time, well, then we can try to find that study, and it would be a replacement to a two-lane bridge. So this here is replacing it as currently what it is, a one-lane bridge, and which the span was actually less than, I think it was Inholm Bridge. No, it was a little bit, this is a little bit longer than Inholm Bridge. It is one of 24.4 Herdville Bridge.
A little less than the Veteran Memorial, it says.
Yeah, you'd think you'd want to use that figure for replacement.
But,
well, yes.
But it's a two-lane bridge, whereas replacement currently is based on Herdville Bridge as a one-lane bridge, the exact same, you know, length structure as it currently is. So we have to get a revised report to what we would be expecting as the replacement. But I think for starters, we got to start someplace. If we are only going to be compensated $50,000 with a $10,000 deduction, $40,000, I think we'd be a little bit upset that we didn't increase the insurance coverage on that bridge.
So what is the $100,000 cover?
So in her report, or in her reply, so if we were to schedule some of the bridges, like we had said here, then it would change, or here's something. Okay, so, so this was from Samantha Elliott. And there's no date on this, it's from last, we received this when she came to see us, July, or...
Beginning of June, yeah.
Yeah, June 20.
No,
but it was last year.
Yeah.
Anyways, so please note that should council opt to add the bridges specifically, the policy will only provide 10,000 for any unscheduled miscellaneous bridges. The limit on the extension for bridges culverts, $50,000, would cover culverts only. So if we didn't schedule all of these bridges, then the ones that we didn't schedule, you know, such as, say we didn't schedule In-Holmes Bridge, Veterans Memorial Bridge, or Stewart Park Bridge, then the coverage that we would have on any of those unscheduled miscellaneous bridges would only be $10,000 to ensure that we have 50,000 coverage on those bridges, which we currently have. Would be $218 per year, and if we wanted that our coverage to be $100,000 on those unscheduled bridges, it'd be an additional $491 per year, plus whatever the total is for what we're going to schedule those bridges at. So I think it makes a lot of sense, just knowing that even small repairs, you know, railings that were damaged on Herdville Bridge damage over $200,000. And when you look at the bridge reports regarding some of the repairs required on some of the bridges, minor repairs are quite expensive. So I don't think we would be going wrong by scheduling all of these bridges, even though some of them are newer, such as Veterans Memorial, Stewart Park, and In-Holmes, just to ensure if something happened, there was a 1-in-100-year flash flood, that say the abutments washed out, that, you know, they're new bridges, but, you know, if you get any torrential rains and the abutments wash out, which could happen anywhere, you watch the news and you can see that that is a possibility, to invest or to put 20,000, I think it adds up to about 20,000 if we were going to schedule all the bridges. It's a worthwhile insurance policy to ensure that we'll be getting more than $40,000.
What do we pay now? Do you know, Carly, often?
None of the bridges are currently scheduled, so we have the $50,000 miscellaneous bridge coverage. I'm unsure what the premium is for that currently.
So can you get and give us a breakdown of, like, say, what we're paying now? And if we, and what it would cost us if we scheduled all of the bridges, like Mike is saying?
To schedule all the bridges would be approximately $21,000.
Plus on top of what we're paying?
No, it'd be separate because they're scheduled individually now, and then the unit, yeah, they'd all be scheduled individually, so that then the premium would be $21,000.
Actually, looking, because... when we had the estimate previously, In-Holmes Bridge was, that was prior to the replacement of In-Holmes Bridge. It was scheduled at $7,495, but like, that's the premium would be on just In-Holmes Bridge. But after replacement, then the premium on In-Holmes dropped to $3,861. So now the total is, you know, 21,000 minus approximately 4,000, so it's approximately 17,000 to schedule all of the bridges.
And that's for all perils?
All perils.
And if you just did Herdville Bridge?
So if you just did Herdville Bridge, that would be $1,142 additional premium. But then I believe it changes the coverage
on the
other bridges. So if we want to keep the coverage at what we currently have, then add another $218 annually on top of the $1,142 for
218 for each bridge.
To have what we, no, total annual. Or if you wanna increase the coverage to 100,000, which is double what we have now, it's $491 annually for all the bridges to bring the coverage to $100,000.
So where does the 20,000 come?
That's if you were gonna schedule all of the bridges so that in Holmes Bridge, if anything happened,
Full.
then it would be the full, you know, either repair or replacement.
Okay.
So.
Alright, so this other is just like a $100,000?
100,000 minus your $10,000 deductible, so. Currently, right now, we have $50,000 coverage for each structure.
Right.
Minus $10,000 deductible.
Yeah, $40,000.
And, you know, the other thing is that if we would have had the full coverage, then their legal team would have been ensuring that that they would be, that if it was at fault by another party, they would be doing the legal work for us. Like, currently, we're paying for the legal work for any of the incidents that happened to our bridges, so.
So just let me get this clear. So for the $100,000 coverage, right?
Yeah.
It's what we pay now plus $418?
I think that it would change, because we're changing our policy on bridges. So whatever we're paying now would be deducted from what we're, you know, scheduling or adding to the policy.
Okay.
So there, I don't think what we're paying right now is a lot anyways. Like, if you're gonna schedule one bridge and then increase, right now, we're probably paying $218 a year for bridge coverage.
Okay.
That's why it's important to, you know, when you do make a claim or you want something from them, then you find out in the fine print that you don't have much coverage, you're not getting much from them. So I like your suggestion, and I know you don't wanna be insurance poor, as we said before, but it would be nice to be covered. And that worried me a little bit when I first read that earthquakes and floods aren't included. I thought, well, that's what we talked about, the floods especially washing out a bridge. But now they are included, my understanding is.
That's what she's saying.
It says bought back, which, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But.
That's what I take that to mean explicitly, actually, so. Although you'd have to wonder why were they brought back, and how was that in their interest to do so, but I don't know that, so.
Yeah, we'd have to see the actual wording and see what it says, yeah.
Yeah. But let's face it, probably the number one risk for most bridges would be a flood.
Yeah.
Right, I mean.
So just one more question. So with the $100,000, is it still just $10,000 deductible?
Yeah, it says here, if council, like, somewhere it said in here that the deductible was $10,000.
Yeah.
I think it's in that other document over there. Do I remember?
What's happened to my, I'm going to this one, I've just taken me back to the agenda.
That's what mine was doing.
It's not taking me to the.
Yeah, it would take me to the previous one, but it wouldn't take me to the new one.
I'll have to find it.
Just go to dynamic, David, and then roll down. That's what I did.
Oh, okay. That gets me closer, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the most.
So do we have a resolution tonight, or do we need more information?
I think let's move forward. We have a flash flood a week from now. I think we'll be kicking ourselves that we've been kicking this thing around for about a year now.
Yeah.
And I think it's time to ensure that we're covered, because anything can happen at any time, and the more you gamble with when that's gonna happen,
Yeah.
then it's, could be very disappointing at some point in time.
Well, with your one scenario, I'd be interested in hearing the treasurer
insurance renewal is coming up in September, and our insurance provider told us that the market has softened, so we shouldn't be subject to the 10% increase this year. It should be less. So he will submit the documents for this additional coverage, and then we'll see what the policy comes back at.
So additional 20,000?
I think that's what Councilor Keck didn't talk
it's,
about.
It's up to council. Do you want to schedule one bridge and then increase or ensure that we have at least the 50,000 coverage, or increase that coverage to 100,000 on everything else that isn't scheduled, or do we want to schedule, you know, the seven bridges listed? I'm just looking at the overall expenses of repairing anything. It doesn't seem like you can do anything regarding bridges for less than $200,000. So,
no, but I thought you said, my understanding was it was what we're paying now plus
418.
Isn't that what you said?
For any. So how many bridges do you want to schedule? That's the.
That was for, I was thinking that was for all of them.
Okay, all the bridges.
At 100,000.
Oh, we don't want. We want to get the full replacement value of whatever gets damaged, repair or replacement.
But I thought we were going to do 100,000, and then update our what the bridges would cost. Update.
When is that going to happen?
No, but that's what I was asking before.
Like, you know, right now, if we want to schedule all of the bridges so that full replacement, full repair, and whatever legal costs that they have to, that their team is going to put into ensuring that, you know, they look go after the third party if that's the case, if we need that, it's going to cost approximately $17,000 for all the bridges, full repair, full replacement. And then if we only schedule, say, one bridge, then our coverage is only $10,000 for all the other bridges. So if we want to increase the coverage to what we have right now on all the other bridges that aren't scheduled for full replacement, it's an additional $218 for what we for $50,000.
Yeah, and then $400 and something for 100,000.
If you want to do it, if you want to schedule those other bridges and get 100,000, which is double what all of our bridges are currently
right.
covered at. But so the options are: do we want to schedule one bridge, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, seven, or all seven bridges? And my reasoning is that we've seen the cost of even small repairs to any infrastructure doesn't seem to be anything less than $200,000, so it might be wise to get the full scheduling of all of the bridges, even though three of them are relatively new. But once again,
and that's $17,000.
$17,000.
So can you get $200,000 coverage?
Or you can buy anything you want.
Like, that's a lot of money, $17,000.
Well,
especially if it's not budgeted.
True, but it also provides for good coverage, too. Right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a situation
yeah.
where
so where's the money going to come from if it's not in the budget?
St. Stephen's account.
Yeah. So that's, Roshan wants to know if if council wants to increase this coverage, so then he'll determine where the money comes from. And Carla just said that there's a possibility that there won't be the 10% increase of the insurance coverage that we had budgeted for this coming year, which I believe we're paying $138,000.
Something like that.
So there's approximately...
For insurance?
That's what we're paying currently, $138,000.
Oh, because I asked that and nobody knew.
No, specific to bridges.
Okay.
So we're paying, yeah, it's in the budget.
We're paying $138,000, roughly, and then we're going to, if we do all the bridges for full replacement value, is another $20,000. $17,000.
Yeah, but.
But you do, so if the bridge, say one bridge gets damaged and it's going to cost the township $1.4 million to repair or replace it, where's that money coming from?
check.
Are you talking in homes now?
Yeah, that wiped out pretty well all of our reserves to replace in homes bridge, mm-hmm. because we only had $50,000 coverage, and the insurance company did not pursue any legal recourse to the third party, and because why would they? They're
what
recovered
was, what was the cost of that one? 780, something like that. 780,000.
It's approximately 500,000.
And we asked Sam Elliott if she could give us a breakdown of the various options with the associated costs so that we can do like option A, option B, option C.
She provided
by an
individual
bridge.
She has.
Okay, well, except I'm still not sure when I read this. Yeah. This tells me what the option is if we were to choose replacement value. I'm still not sure that's what that tells me.
That's if you pay $3,861, then in Holmes Bridge is fully covered all perils, replacement or repair.
With the exclusions that are in the memo we got today.
Yeah, but which.
And that's true for all of those?
Yes.
And if I totaled this column, not that I can do that in my head, that's for sure, is that on top of what we're currently paying or in replacement of what we're currently paying for those bridges, if you follow?
So if we were to schedule those,
yeah.
then most likely right now we're paying approximately $218
okay.
per year,
which is nothing.
Which is nothing.
Yeah.
So we're not paying anything for insurance currently, and we haven't, which has cost us quite significantly over the last 10 years for bridges. So at some point you look back and you say we've been pretty lucky, you know, that
yeah.
nothing's more serious, even though it, you know, it did cost us $500,000 and wiped out our reserve accounts to replace in Holmes Bridge.
That's the only one, right?
And then fortunately it seems like we're going to be compensated for Herdville
yes,
Bridge.
But I mean, other than Herdville Bridge, in Holmes is the only one that's put us behind.
I think what he's suggesting too is there are many repairs that have to be done to the various other bridges. And if those aren't scheduled, then something could happen. So they'll have to be scheduled in some budget, some year.
So are those repairs covered by the insurance?
No, but it just increases the
I know, the chance
of something
happening.
That's what
but
insurance is all
yeah,
about.
I know.
But it probably doesn't make sense to do some of the bridges or one of the bridges. If we're going to do them, we should do them all. That's my gut feel for it anyhow. I don't know if the rest of you agree, but it just doesn't make sense to say, well, we'll do five of seven or six of seven, I mean, or one of seven, right? I mean, I don't see how that's logical to look at it that way. Either insure them all or we don't. But and I don't recommend that we don't, because that could cost us a lot more money than $17,000. So
Carly, what's our next step? We don't have a resolution tonight, so.
So I do have a resolution prepared. I was just listening to the discussion. So council's wanting to schedule certain bridges, and then it's seeming like bridges that wouldn't be scheduled would have the miscellaneous coverage increased to 100,000. So I just have Herdville Bridge currently as a scheduled bridge. Is there any other bridges council would like to schedule?
I'm hearing from two councilors that we schedule them all.
Okay.
Is that the general feeling?
That's so what I heard.
However you have to word that. But.
So would we listen just because I think in the structure report it does have culverts as well, so.
Yeah. Right.
So.
That's what I'm saying with this. Is there any way we could, maybe we can do it tonight, or is it okay to wait a couple of weeks and get the proper wording? As you say, to list each bridge and culvert as well. Because this is just a general statement, it doesn't list them.
And I'd kind of like to know where Roshan would pull the money from.
yes, it would be good to have input from the treasurer in the meantime.
For sure, but.
Like, I'm just wondering what another couple of weeks makes, I guess 3 weeks in this case, but as far as getting this result, can we wait for a resolution that by the time I finish talking, Carly will have it written?
Remember to write neatly.
And although Councillor Hassan's not here, I believe his opinion of it as well is that we schedule all of the bridges.
Right, yeah.
No, it's mine.
That wasn't in the agenda pack, was it?
It was.
Yeah, and I can't find it. Well, I know the written one I have, but I can't find it on the computer.
No, it's page 126.
I'm gonna do what you did in a second.
126. So if you go up.
Yeah, I always had this before that, and then I'm into the dynamic.
Well, that's weird. Yeah, because the one I'm looking at has it.
No, I don't know. Hmm.
You see, maybe the problem is I get a
previous.
A previous.
Well, and a lot of this was last minute.
Right.
With
yeah.
this agenda, so maybe you're.
I didn't
got
download
the hard copy.
Oh,
yeah.
Yep.
That could be it.
So I didn't download the most recent one. Then.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of last minute stuff. The one that's on SharePoint should be the updated one.
Right, so that's what I should do is open that one and save
and
it.
And download it,
yeah.
Yeah.
Carly, and Debbie for that matter, I mean, instead of just saying this, wouldn't we want to say that we want replacement value on all 7 of the bridges? Isn't that the gist of what you've been saying, Mike? That's my view, anyhow, is that, and if so, then we should say so, and obviously we have that earlier letter from the insurance company.
That's the way the insurance terms it, is scheduling the bridges.
Sorry?
They say the bridges are slightly are added as a schedule within our policy.
Okay.
And then the replacement value is given to one of the scheduled bridges.
One or all?
Well, all in this
okay.
case, but.
But we don't say that in here. In other words, we're saying that we want him to include the following bridges in the annual insurance renewal schedule. All 7 of the bridges, fine. But not just that, specifically we want replacement value on all 7.
But that, like Carly said, that's what their definition is. Once you're scheduling them, then we're scheduling them for all perils, which is replacement repair.
But I think what Councillor Rod is getting, we want to make sure what Council is asking for. Not necessarily, we don't know the wording, how they're going to word it, or what they mean by schedule.
Okay.
So in our resolution, if it's specifically says replacement value, that makes more sense to me. That
does the letter that you just had that one over there, does it say the words replacement value?
To add the bridges, okay, so I'll read it. Please note that should Council opt to add the bridges specifically, the policy will provide $10,000 for any unscheduled miscellaneous bridges. The limit on the extension for bridges, culverts, $50,000 would cover culverts only. I've attached the completed debt. So, cost to schedule each bridge specifically.
But again, it's not specific about what we're scheduling or what we're requesting. And I think it's clear to me, in this meeting at least, that we're talking about replacement value, which is in the ballpark of $17,000. And I know that's a heck of a lot of money, but the alternative would be to pay a heck of a lot more for any one of those bridges that even had any consequential damages. It would be a lot more than $17,000.
That's why I suggested getting the wording that would be understandable to the insurance. insurance company and to us, and so we could do a resolution now, and they could come back and say, well, you can't get that for that price. So I'm just wondering if we should get it all clarified and do up a good resolution. Not that there's anything wrong with this one, but
sure.
To make sure that we we've got the correct wording and that they know what
yeah.
we're after.
I'm on side with that. I think we should ask Sam or whomever, you know, tell us exactly what wording you need
right.
to have all seven covered for all perils or replacement or whatever we're going to call it, right? And I need to know their terminology, and I don't at the moment, I must admit. But these letters, even in totality, don't really come out and say those words.
Well, no, that's why I started this whole conversation
yeah.
saying I'm still confused on
yeah.
what they're sending us.
Yeah. And I know you asked her to come, but she couldn't come to this meeting?
She's on vacation, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. But I mean, would she potentially be here in 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Does she, like, would she physically come, or would it just be
no, somewhere? Virtual.
Okay, okay.
So,
because then we could ask those questions, say, tell us exactly what it is we're asking for and getting for the 17 or whatever it turns out to be.
And so it says here, any perils not specifically excluded under the policy wordings would be covered under the all-risk property policy. So if we
all-risk
property policy.
But I think if you actually heard that from her,
But
I mean, I would still be more comfortable to hear it with the person that we're talking to
yeah.
and we're saying, this means this, right? And if it doesn't tell me how it doesn't, I know that's what the correspondence was about today. And I understand that part of it. But I'd still like somebody to say, yeah, all risk covers all risks except the exclusions, right? And that's fine. I mean, everybody expects that there is some, so at least I do. But
and maybe the exact amounts, too.
Yes.
Like the total.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be good to get all of that in writing now that she knows generally what council's after.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk to her, she can put something down in writing that makes sense to all of us. And like you say, a total amount, that would
yeah.
be good.
So can
and
I...
what the coverage is.
Can I ask for it to be deferred if we get that?
I don't even have it here, but... I haven't even read it. I guess we can defer it, or we just don't deal with it.
Yeah, there. Okay. Yeah, because you never even read it for us to discuss.
Right.
She also refers to page 911 of our complete property policy as well.
Okay, so you can read it out because basically we're just giving the treasurer direction to include those bridges in the schedule when he's renewing the policy. So,
when's the renewal date? Do we know?
September.
So, yeah, a couple of weeks isn't going to make a hill of beans difference, right? Are we okay just asking for that? Unless something happens in the next 2 weeks, but.
Well,
yeah.
be specific what you want because they already sent an email asking for all the questions council had at the last council meeting. So, read those questions over, and
yeah.
if you want to be a little more specific to ensure you're getting the answers
sure.
that you want. Otherwise, we keep shuffling this back and forth. Kind of.
Well, I think one of the problems is that we ask the questions and we get the same. This is a little more information this time, but we're really not getting our questions answered. And that's why I think it should be clarified. It'd be good to actually communicate with her and have something in writing what council's requesting. The council agrees to everything. And then have some confirmation, because you're right, what she sends us still didn't really clarify an awful lot. We don't know for a fact what she sent us, that we had full replacement value for all of these bridges at that cost. That's not how I interpret it anyway, and I think it'd be good to get that from her. As Mary had said, I think the actual figures and what's the total cost of the township. You can add up those figures if you want, but what's actually covered there? We don't know for a fact. It'd be nice to see what the agreements would say.
Should I say that they can also be reviewed on pages 9-11 of our complete property policy as well? Obviously, I don't have it. I don't mention you. I assume Roshan does, but that may help to answer the question anyhow. But given the amount of money we're talking about and the value of these bridges, I think we need to be very careful with exactly what we enter into. So,
no, I agree, and I think Councillor Zulak was right too. We have to talk to the treasurer in the interim.
Yeah.
Where's this money coming from?
Yeah.
summer, getting close, and there might be other things come up too with some of our tenders that are there, we don't know. So I don't think a matter of 2-3 weeks is gonna make that much difference, maybe it will.
Does the asset management plan figure into any of this? I mean, it should, I think, shouldn't it?
I don't know where that's sitting, to be honest.
I'm sorry, I know it's just an open wound, I'm not doing it for that reason, I'm just trying, you know, I don't want a monkey wrench thrown at us on the 1st of September that, you know, we didn't look at what the, you know, asset management plan says.
I'll say the asset management plan needs to be worked on once it's received with council, it's not super specific to each individual asset. It does provide costs generally, but we need to get way more into specifics with each individual asset.
I just don't want something coming along later that then undoes what we're trying to do here, that's all. But especially if we're $17,000 short, but.
So, you want to delay all of this and get more information? Does that sound okay? So we won't have a resolution? I can read that and defer it if you want, but is it really going to do anything?
Maybe good to keep it on the table, just
sure.
So we keep.
Okay.
And then we don't lose the number.
And we put it on unfinished business.
Yeah.
Okay. So resolution 25-294, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Ryland. Whereas the treasurer is in the process of completing the insurance renewal documentation required by the township's insurance provider to facilitate preparation of the renewal package, including updated annual premium information. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the insurance coverage premium information for township-owned bridges. Further, the council directs the treasurer to include the following bridges in the annual insurance renewal review schedule. All 7 of the township's bridges, being Herdville Bridge, Inholmes Bridge, Ford's Bridge, Broadbent Bridge, Rayall Bridge, Stewart Park Bridge, and Veterans Memorial Bridge. Any further discussion? Call the question for a deferral. All those in favor? Carried for deferral.
Can I ask you to ask Roshan to for our next meeting or when we're next discussing to give us copies of pages 9-11?
Mm-hmm.
All right, just so, I mean, maybe that answers our questions. I don't know. If it does, good. If it doesn't,
we'll ask them again.
Unfinished business?
Yeah.
New business?
Oh, just finished business. So just there is the one with so July 4th, 2023, renamed Hart Road, formerly Fire Road 306. Residents on the road have been contacted and they are coming up with another name. And they responded. At some point in the past, the township, when there was no response over a certain amount of time, the township named the road. So just wondering if we're at that point at some point.
Well, it is already, it was renamed Hart Road, so it can just remain Hart Road.
So
it was formerly Fire Route 306. So, and then it was renamed to Hart Road, and then the residents said that they wanted a different name, and then they just hadn't come forward. So it is currently Hart Road.
So it isn't that there's a conflict with the name Hart Road with another road in the area that's...
I didn't believe so with that one. It was just the property owners didn't like the name.
So can we send them something that we're going to use the name Hart Road? Because they haven't responded? Does that
yeah,
make sense?
It's all on their tax
their,
bills,
yeah.
Their address. Like,
oh,
it is
okay, so we just
road.
Leave it then.
Yeah.
So you can take that off?
Yes,
Councilor. Okay. What about the playground equipment?
Our reserve account is being replenished. We are looking into grant funding. I have to contact playground equipment supplier to get a new quotation on the playground equipment that the broadband community parents were more apt to using. And then the plan is for Roshan and myself to fully investigate some further grant funding. I don't believe it'll be completed by this year. We're looking at it as a capital item for 2026.
Okay.
Now, again, is that something that has to go through our insurance company? Because in the past, we could purchase the equipment and assemble it on site with our own staff, and now it has to be somebody with a certificate, I guess. So,
the quotation would include installation as well by the company that has all the proper licensing and insurance. The township wouldn't be able to have staff build the play equipment.
So we have confirmation once it's all installed and running that it meets all the standards, so that the company itself would ensure that before they
Would have to do a final inspection. And then I'm not sure what maintenance schedules there are for currently for new play equipment, but that's something we would investigate.
Okay, on to new business. Public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members. Any committees you've attended?
So,
yeah, so I did attend a West Prairie Sound OPP, West Prairie Sound OPP board meeting. So the committee did discuss the sort of a draft budget, and I believe that information is being forwarded to the treasurer specifically, and most likely the CEO clerk as well.
Yes, Roshan did receive the draft budget.
Just because there are some board expenses for all the municipalities, and I think it was around $5,000 mark. Just because it's prorated, it's currently halfway through the year. Now that the municipalities are responsible for looking after administration, website, insurance, and other associated costs. So
that's like the other boards where everybody pays the same amount. Is that
Yes, it's divided by eight.
Okay.
So the municipalities and Henby and the First Nation.
And McDougall's still the one in charge?
So no. Carling, the meetings take place now at Carling Township Council Chambers. So Carling is overseeing the administration of the board currently. And so the goal is to have a board webpage, because currently now the information is being posted on the McDougall webpage. It's to ensure that the board is completely independent, so that if there's, you know, there isn't a need to change the municipality that's hosting it. It's the board that is hosting the web page and all of the administration regarding the board. So
I'm interested on that particular board, how it's interpreted as far as you're sitting on it. Which hat are you wearing? Are you a counselor, or are you a board member now that's separate from our council? The pool committee is our prime example of what's happened. Their first responsibility is to the pool committee, not the council. And yet the funds come from the council, the township.
I think it says as a board member, because in the past we would receive stats for McKellar at the, what it used to be called, the Community Policing Advisory Committee. Each municipality would receive stats for their individual municipality. Now when it's the West Prairie Sound OPP board, those individual municipal stats are no longer provided. We're provided stats for the entire West Prairie Sound OPP detachment area. So the more you change things to improve it, then actually is it is the end result benefiting the individual municipalities? And it seems like that's the goal of the board, is that we're overseeing the detachment area, not a specific municipality. So yes, it would be as a board member, appointed board member. the board has the insurance, that's one of the costs.
And procedural bylaw and all those things that, I know in the pool committee, they were using Perry Sounds for a while, but I'm not sure if they ever produced their own, so I assume that's in the works.
So the legislation sets out the code of conduct and all of the requirements of the board. So it's either in an Ontario regulation, specifically that, you know, the code of conduct or procedural aspects. So that's set out by the province.
And we haven't received anything back here as far as the two area nominees. The provincial, I guess, haven't chosen any two yet.
I received the applications as part of the steering committee, the selection committee. We haven't made a date to meet yet to discuss what the recommendation will be, and then once that comes forward, I'll circulate all of the applications received to our council.
Okay, sounds good.
Because ultimately it's going to be the individual municipal councils and the Inlet First Nation who are going to be, by resolution, appointing the two community appointed members. So this selection committee will pass on their recommendations, but council will look at the applications that were submitted, and ultimately council is going to be deciding the what their recommendation, what their selection is for appointing two community appointed members to the board.
So it's like unanimous?
It has to be
majority?
It has to be
unanimous.
Unanimous.
That might take a while.
Well, unfortunately, these applications didn't go to the councils in January when there was this big push to ensure that, you know, these two public appointed committee members be appointed as soon as possible so that we would ensure that we always had a quorum. Well, here we are, 2nd of July, and the big rush didn't materialize in producing any community appointed board members.
So you don't anticipate, because of the way this is set up, that we'll run into what newly elected councils run into all the time, lobbying from the other municipalities on who to choose?
It's hard to say. We'll see what the recommendations are that come forward from the CAO clerk selection committee.
Right, okay. But we're seeing all of the nominations, right? That's a guarantee, that even though they maybe limited the numbers.
We were ensured that by Lori West, who was I think overseeing this process, and did mention it at a previous West Perry Sound OPP detachment board meeting, that the councils would be seeing the applications and ultimately making the selection, and they seemed so surprised, you know, that I advised them that the legislation says that the municipalities will be ultimately deciding who the appointed members are, not a selection committee that's not even mentioned in the legislation.
Because they probably already have them picked.
We'll see what their suggestions are when we receive that information.
Okay, any other committee reports? Councilor Zulak.
Just the library. July is a busy month. They have crafts for kids on July the 8th through to August the 19th, every Tuesday from 3 o'clock till 4. It's free, and there's no registration. You can just drop in. And July the 10th, from 1 to 2:30, there's a legal education seminar on wills, power of attorney, and estate planning, and that's a free seminar. And also July the 8th, the children's author visit and activity. Erin Aladdin is coming to our library. Join us as Erin introduces her new book to us and help her make our township butterfly garden more beautiful. Apparently she's going to be doing something on the butterfly garden. And that's... Oh, and for that, remember you had mentioned before about the satellite in front of the window?
Really, but no, if you say I did, I don't
Yeah,
know.
Well, you had said that apparently it's... It doesn't work properly if it's in front of the window. Well, it was checked out, and there's no limitations to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just want to get back to you on that. And then, I was just curious. Question on the Nipissing Perry Sound Student Transportation Serve. Did you hear anything back on that?
I did, and they withdrew the request.
Oh, okay. All right, thanks.
Councilor Peckham?
Just wanted to mention that the Historical Committee has been meeting at St. Stephen's usually every Monday, because we're working on a historical photo project at St. Stephen's for the grand opening of August 22nd. So it's just informal sort of work sessions. Whoever shows up, shows up. So it's not that there's actually a meeting taking place. It's just a work session. And there are members of the community that are attending as well. And it's been a great time just hearing different historical stories about different events. Because when we're looking at the photographs, then there's a lot of information that comes forward. So we're trying to put those together in a way that is informative and you know, exciting for people to read when they take a look at those the displays. And we've been fortunate to get a couple of artifacts actually back to St. Stephen's. One pew and the baptismal font, which we believed had been destroyed. Like, you know, the when they deconsecrate any of the furnishings, then the Anglican Church will either usually bury the item so it doesn't get used for other purposes. So we always understood that the altar and the baptismal font had, you know, been disposed of in that way. But then we were informed that it still was in good condition at the Trinity Anglican Church in Perry Sound. And just out of the blue, someone sent an email and were asked if the Historical Committee would like it back to St. Stephen's, and we were pretty surprised and definitely excited to have it return. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay, on to consent agenda correspondence. Got resolution 25-295, moved by Councilor Peckman, second by Councilor Ryan. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you wish to pull from that to discuss? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Questions, comments from people in the audience or online? I have resolution 25-296, moved by Councillor Keckin, second by Councillor Zulak. Resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby given bylaw number 2025-36, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading. Further read a third time in the past in open Council.